So we're holding on the last line of Dear Woman Days. In the middle of discussing the question of how we know the Kedusha Ketzet work. What's the source for it in the Torah? And the related question of how we know that when a father is Mekadosh's daughter to somebody, that the father is the one who gets the money. So we brought the pasuk V'yotza Chinam Ein Kesef, that an Omer Ivriya goes out free when she becomes a Naira without having to pay any money, and we said that implies that in a different case where she goes out, she does have to pay, there is money that has to be paid, namely to her father, La'adun Kigesh Kesef, La'adun Acher. And we went through the pros and cons of that so far. So the last thing we had in the Gemara is that so we said, leaving aside that pasuk, there was a pasuk b'nireya b'savia, which we said that means even when she's a naira, the money goes. Hello. Given that that's talking about a case of iser of hafaras nedarim, you can't learn from it to mamon. You can't learn from the case of knas in the case of an oinus, because that's a special case also. So where do we know this idea that when it comes to a naira, Tana, okay, she has no yad, so fine, the money goes to her father. How do we know that that's true in the case of a naira as well?
What do we call it, shevach?
Where do you see the word shevach?
Basically, you're called shevach.
Called shevach ne'urim lovia. Any benefit that comes during her ne'urim goes to her father, including in this case, the kedushin. And we said, actually, there were two things. There was kedushin, and there was also ma'isya deha, what she earns, which actually the Gemara is going to talk about soon, why we need a limud for each one of them separately. Okay, the last line of Gimel and Beis, Ella, the Gemara says, Mistabra, it's logical to say, let's go back to the pasuk Ein Kesef Ladin, Ein Kesef, which we darshan means Ein Kesef Ladin Zeh, that the master of the Omer Via doesn't get any money when she leaves, but the father gets money of kedushin when she leaves his rishus. So we asked before, we said that maybe the money should go to her, at least if she's a naira. So we said, so the Gemara says, Mistabra, it's logical to say, to keep coming mind that if the Pasuk is telling us a miyut, if the Torah is telling us that this Adon has no Kesef, implying that a different Adon does have Kesef, Yitzia to Kavasa, come in mind. What must it be excluding? It must be a similar kind of Yitzia to the kind of an Omer Ivriya. Namely, the Omer Ivriya goes out of his Rishus, of the Adon's Rishus, she no longer belongs to him, and we're saying there's no money. So it's logical that when a girl goes out of her father's Rishus, regardless whether she's a Ketana or a Naira, then in that case, same idea, then the implication of the Pasuk Ein Kesef, a Yesh Kesef, La'adin Zeh, would be that in the case when she leaves her father's Rishus, which we know she's still in his Rishus when she's a Naira as well, then the money should go to him. The Gemara says, why? Why? They're not exactly the same. Tosfos, by the way, brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that learns differently. Yitzia to Kavasar Kamamayat means just as with an Omer Ivriya, when does she go free? When she becomes a Naira. So also, we're talking about over here, when she's a Naira and she's Niskadish, then the money still goes to her father. okay. So the Gemara asks, "V'holad dam yahay yitzia lahay yitzia." Why? It's not exactly the same kind of yitzia. The Omer Ivriya leaving her master's employment is not exactly the same as a girl leaving her father's rishus. Because hasam nafkala mirshus adin lagamri. When an Omer Ivriya goes free, she's completely free of him. She has no more tie to him at all. V'hocha kafim mechzer mesir lachupa. Over here, yes, she's miskadish, but she's still not fully out of her father's rishus, as we learned back in Ksuvos, until she's brought into the chupa, or at least once the shluchei av give her over to the shluchei baal, she's not fully out of his rishus. The answer is yes.
She's also in someone else's rishus.
But she's partly in her husband's rishus, but she's also partly still in her husband's rishus. The answer is hafaras nedarim yenachkelam rishusay. True, but at least as far as hafaras nedarim, she is out of his rishus. In the sense, the Tanan, as we learned in Nedarim, Naira Meros, Avio Baila, Mefir Nedarim, that it takes her father plus her husband to be made for her Nedarim. So her father has lost the ability that he had up until now to be made for on his own. In that sense, she's out of his rishus.
I'm still connected. No.
There is the point, it's true, the father still has a partial ability to, but he can't do it by himself. And there are Mefarshim who point out, according to Rambam's Shita, now when we learned the whole concept of Hafaras Nedarim, we said over there, when it comes to a husband being made for his wife's Nedarim, we know, definitely, we said over there, he can only be made for Nedarim of Inri Nefesh, things that are a physical affliction, or Dvarim Shebeina Labeina, things that involve their marital relationship, but not anything else. Whereas the Rambam holds that a father can be made for any neder of his daughters, regardless whether it's Inri Nefesh or not. Therefore, in that sense, the father has lost that ability. and he never regains it.
Completely.
And he never regains it. So in that sense, she has completely left his rishus as far as those kinds of nedarim.
Rav Lev is the only one who holds that.
I don't know, the only one, but he's one of the Rishonim who holds that way. The Gemara doesn't say so in so many words. That's why it's left to the Rambam to deduce that, but yeah. Okay. So therefore, yes, so you can still say that in that sense, she is completely out of his Rishos. And therefore, yes, you can say by the same token then, when she's completely out of, just like when she's completely out of the Adin's Rishos, there's no money paid to him. So also, when she's completely out of her father's Rishos, or at least completely, so far as the Forest of Durham is concerned, then there is money that goes to him. Yesh kes vladinacha. Now going back, so what are you telling me then? That we're learning from the pasuk v'yatzachinam, that we're learning from that in kesef la'adin zav, yesh kesef la'adin acha, this whole concept of money of kedushin. L'hachi huda'asa, is that what the pasuk comes to teach us? Meaning, in other words, we have another limud we're going to learn from those words. And it's a general assumption throughout Shas, we've had it any number of times, that you can't use the same words for two different drashas, unless you have some way of proving that there's two extras in it, like the words, the whole phrase is extra, and within it itself is a specific, there's an extra letter or word or what have you. Yeah. So l'hachi hoda'asa, is that what it's coming to teach us? We need it for what we learn in another braisa, the Tanya. V'yatzachinam eli yimet bagrus. When it says v'yatzachinam, but it doesn't say when she goes out. When the Omer Aviyah goes out, it means Eli Yimei Bagrus. It means at the time that she becomes a Begeris, and Ein Kesef Eli Yimei Nairus. And when it says there's no money, that means at the time of Nairus. Now, the obvious question is, once she's out of the Naira, what's she still doing there as a Begeris? The Gemara is going to take that up later down on the Omer. But for the time being, we see that each of those phrases, V'yatzachinam and Ein Kesef, is used for those drashas. How do we have them available to teach us anything about Kesef, La'adin Zeh, and La'adin Acher, or anything like that? Amar Ravina, in kein lemakra un or ein kesef, without a yud. If that were the case, if all the Torah meant to teach us by the words ein kesef is that she goes out when she's a naira from being an Amar Ravina, then it would have spelt without a yud. Yes, we're going to see in a few lines that can be that shurish can come without a yud. My ein kesef, what's ein written with a yud? Then we learn from it another drasha in kesef laden zav yesh kesef laden acher. And again, manni, who is this oden acher? Okay, when we may did ashin and hachi, so the Gemara says, so where do we get the idea that we darshan like that, that we take the word ein, break it down like that the yud in it is darshan for something else as well? The Tanya. For example, we have what we learned in, what it says in a braisa, we learned in Yevamos. The Torah tells us that a Bas Koyen who married Yisrael becomes also Yitzchama. Then if her husband dies or divorces her, and if she has no descendants, then she's able to go back to eating Truma. So the pasuk says, Zera Einla, that she has no children. So Ein Li Ela Zara, first of all, you would only have the word Zera, you would only know that it means her direct children. Zera Zara Minayin. How do we know that even if she has grandchildren or great-grandchildren from her husband, the Yisrael, that she's still also to go back to eating Truma? Tamadlema, Zera Ein Law. And we learn from the word Ein, we darshan Ayin Law. Check into it. You have to check in as far down as you can to see whether she has any descendants.
So what's Zera or Zera Zera?
No, we're saying the Zera Ein law. The word ein we're saying as if it was ayin law. Check into her. How exactly you get ayin from ein, there's a few different explanations that Mefarshim have. First of all, one possibility, I mean, on a very simple level, aleph and ayin are from the same moitza peh. They both are guttural letters. They're both made in the back of the throat. Therefore you can substitute one for the other in a drasha. We learned way back, for example, in Eruvin, for example, the Gemara discussed about a number of words in Shas, whether they're supposed to properly be spelled with an aleph or an ayin, ma'abrin, a couple of words like that, because they can be interchanged to that extent. In Tanakh also, you have, for example, the place, for example, is a pasuk I think in Amos, that Misa'ev Anochi has Goin Yaakov, or Misa'ev usually would be spelled with an ayin, the Lashon Toyeva, disgusting, but here it's spelled with an aleph, but it still has the same meaning. But yeah, so there's that. The Aruch gives another explanation of it, which is, he says, because the word ein is written with the extra yud, you can darshan it, you can understand it as though it was two words combined together. The word ein, which means not in Hebrew, but also the word hein, which means yes. Not in Tanakh Hebrew, you don't find the word hein, but in Mishnah and Gemara Hebrew, you find the word hein. So therefore, by putting it together, ein means not, hein means there is. So it means you have to check out carefully to make sure that that there is not, and not that there is any descendant or anything like that.
Who's giving
the Aruch says that. Next, ve'ein li, continues the Braith, ve'ein li elah zera kosher. Fine, if you only had thus far in the pasuk, you would only know that it includes kosher to children. Zera posel minayin, how do we know that it also includes posel to children, for example, mamzerim? Now, Tosfos points out, there it necessarily has to be zera zara. If she herself has children who are mamzerim, she's anyhow posel teacher unless she's a zoyna. But by definition, if she has a mamzer, that means she had relations with somebody who's also to her. So it has to be talked.
Yeah,
we learned. We learned. After, yeah, even if it was Ba'unis, we learned that.
We didn't know.
It doesn't matter. Ba'unis, Shogig, whatever it is, yeah. Mamzer is a mamzer, and she still is possible to eat Turma if she had relations with somebody who was possible to her. No, what we mean, Tosfos says, is we must be talking about grandchildren. So she had a daughter, let's say, who ended up being willingly or unwillingly mizana with somebody who was chayv karis or mrs. based in, and or some whatever where the union is princess or mrs. based in, whatever, and they have a child who's a mamzer. So this grandmother, the Bas Koyin, has a grandchild. She herself is not possible in a kohona for that, but she's possible. She's not possible. It's her grandson. It's her grandson who's the mamzer. It's her daughter who is the one. If the grandmother at that point wants to marry a koyin, she's an almana. She can. But we're not even talking about whether she can marry a kohen. We're talking about, can she go back to Truma de Beit Noshe? Can she go back to her father's house to eat Truma? The answer is yes. But, well, the answer is no, because she has a grandchild who's a mamzer. But, in other words, if that grandchild didn't exist, her daughter would still be possible, because she had relations with somebody who was possible law, but she herself, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so, Talmud Lema, Zera Ein Law, Ein Law, same thing. You darshan from the words, Zera Ein Law, that means you have to check in to see whether she has any children, even children. You use the word ein already for ayimla to check whether she has grandchildren. How can you also use it to say that it includes zera posel? The answer is zera zara la itzukhra. You don't even need an extra posel to teach us that zera zara is included. Because we know grandchildren in the Torah are considered to that extent like children. So therefore, without the drasha from ein law, ayin law, we would know that regardless whether she has children or grandchildren or great grandchildren or what have you, she'd still be possible for meeting Truman. So we need the ein to teach us ayin law, check in, does she have any living descendants, regardless of whether they're kosher or they're possible. So therefore, we see this concept then that you can use the word ein to darshan, so you can darshan there because there's an extra yud in it, that you can darshan it, to mean ayin Allah, check into it, and then see. So the same thing over here. Okay, the Tana Gufim and knowledge of Dora Shachi. Fine, okay, so we're saying that all this discussion is all based on, originally we started off with Rav Yehuda Amar Rav saying that we learned from a Yatzachinam Ein Kesef. And we said, how does that fit with that we're using Ein Kesef for a different Russia? So we're saying Rav is getting it from the Yud. How do we know that? Because we see the Braisa in the case of this Bas Koyim that uses the Yud. Fine, how does the Tana of that Braisa himself, Menolei Dora Shachi, how does he know to Darshan the Yud of Ein to have a meaning? Amri, because they said like this, Mei Ein Bilam or Mei Ein Yuvami. You have, for example, the words in the passage. Bilam refuses to go with us. The Balak's messengers come back and tell him. Or the Yavama says, when it comes to Chalitza, my Yavam is unwilling to do Chalitza. To like say Bil Yud. Now there's no Yud in those words. So they, and the Gemara
is with a Yud.
On the face of it. Well, okay. So on the face of it, what the Gemara seems to be saying is that the word Mei Ein in these contexts comes from the Shodesh Ein. It's not so simple, actually. I mean, based on Dikduk, it seems L'chora not so. L'chora based on Dikduk, it's two different Shoreshim. Ein versus Ma'ein, which means to refuse, like Mion or whatever. So there's a couple of different takes that Mephoroshim have on it. One of them is that if the Gemara is assuming that if it was just because there's a separate Shoreshim Ma'ein, and that's what it means over here, then the Nikud of it should be, instead of the Mem having a Tzere, it should have a Chir, Mi'ein. I'll turn up like you have other verbs in Hebrew, other three-letter verbs, where when it's in the active form, it's called piel. You have a chirik under the first letter rather than a tzeirik. So the fact that not means that maybe we can the Gemara can assume therefore that mei ein means sort of like because of not. Like the mem is the prefix mem from not wanting to go basically, or from not wanting to do chalitza or something to that effect. Interesting thing, Rabbi Akiva Eger wants to say based on that, that for example, you have, you know, we know in a Sefer Torah, if you find an extra letter or a missing letter, if it changes the meaning of the pronunciation of the word, you have to take out another one. If it doesn't, like for example, the Vav of Aveseinu, let's say, is missing, or there where it shouldn't be, you don't have to take out another Sefer Torah. You have to correct it when you have a chance, but let's say it's on Shabbos, then you don't have to take out another Sefer Torah because of it, because as we'll say later on in the Masechta, as we'll get to on Daf Lamed, we're not so bucky in Chaseiris to Yaseiris. Let's say, yeah, the word Aveseinu, where in some places in the Torah it's supposed to be with above, in some places without above, the middle above, that is, after the vase. If it's missing where it should be there, or it's there where it should be missing, that's not the kind of mistake that you take out a new Sefer Torah for, because we'll learn later on in Daf Lamed, we're not so expert in the details of Chaseiris via Chaseiris anyway. Who says, if we take out another Sefer Torah, who says that version is the correct one? Maybe the one we have in front of us is really the correct one. Anyway. But if it makes a mistake, if it makes a difference in the meaning or the pronunciation of the word, then you do take out another Torah. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about, based on our Gemara, does that mean that if you have, for example, the Torah, let's say in one of these places, the word may in Bilam, if you have a Yud in there, maybe based on that, you shouldn't have to take out another Sefer Torah, because the Gemara is assuming it's from the same Shurdash as Ein. Lamai said the halacha is not like that, as far as I know. The halacha is that you would have to take out another Sefer Torah. Because in Drosha, it's very nice, but as far as a matter of Masorah, and as far as a matter of Dikduk, we do say that they're considered to be from a different Shurdash, and the Yud doesn't belong there. Anyway. The Mem is missing, there's no question you take out, yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so the Loik Sibu Yud. So those words don't have a yud. B'hacha k'sivei yud. Here the word ein kesef does have a yud, and ein by v'zera ein law also has a yud. Shmamin of the drasha or also. So we see therefore that it can be used for the purposes of the drasha. One of the Rishonim also says the possibility that maybe what the Gemara says, at least in the case of ein kesef, the possibility is maybe if it were to be written without the yud, you could read it as though it said on kesef. On means where, like on halachem. So therefore, it means like where is the money, kind of. Like, there's supposed to be money given, so where is it? So whatever. Okay. Next. The Itzrich, now, so we have before on Gimel Amud Beis, at the beginning of the sugya, we mentioned two different limudim. One is the idea that when the girl is a naira, that her kesef kedushin goes to her father. And another, that her maisiyadeha, that her earnings go to her father. So when we had a different passage for each one. One from Biyotachinam and Kesef. That's the question. Why do we need a separate limud for each one? The Itzuch L'michtav Kedushay Alaviyah, the Itzuch L'michtav Maisei De Alaviyah. We need the Torah to tell us that her Kedushin go to her father, which we learned so far, we said, from Ein Kesef. And we need also to be told that her Maisei Adair go to her father, which we learned from earlier in that same parasha, the Chiyinka Vishis Vitter La'ama, that just like he has the right to sell her as a maidservant, so he has the right to Maisei Adair. Why? Because of Rahmat Kiddushay Alaviyah, if the Torah only told us her Kedushin go to her father, Hava Minimishim Blaitanachabahu, you would argue, okay, the difference is because she didn't work to get those Kedushin. Somebody just came over and was a Kaddisher. Hava Maisiyah there to Kapachabahu, but Maisiyah there, she worked hard for it. Ema Didahu. You might say, well then, by rights, they ought to belong to her. So we need a prophet to tell us that. The Iyashmin and Maisiyah Deha, and if we were told only Maisiyah Deha, you would say, there, the difference is, to commit the nominee. Yes, but the fact is, he's supporting her. So therefore, it's logical that because he's supporting her, he should be entitled to Maisiyah Deha. Now, on the side of it, here, it references a Tosfos in Gittin, which mentions, when you get down to it, we learned back in Ksubas, actually, the whole concept of father supporting his children is itself only did up on him. We talked in Kshulis over there about technically only until 6 years old. Beyond that, a person doesn't want her, then they shame him publicly, etc. But the whole concept of if he doesn't want to support them past 6 years old, we learn from Kshulis that they make public announcements about him. You know, Haitochen, even a cool raven has Rachmanis on its children. This guy's worse than that. Anyway. But the whole concept of supporting one's children is only a takana de rabbanan. So how are we saying that the Torah is saying because of a takana de rabbanan, therefore we have? So the answer basically is that basically Yoda Torah will save Dainish Adam. The Torah knows that in a normal society, parents take care of their children. Later on, I guess there came a point when maybe people were slacking off on it, so the Chacham had to make a formal takana of it. But the concept as an Indian existed long before that, and therefore the Torah can use that as a basis for because we know that that happened. Therefore, the Torah can declare on that basis that Maisiyah Deha belongs to him.
So what age is it?
that we set up. Until she's an idol.
No, today.
Today, I mean, parents support their children long after nidus, obviously. But then, yeah. Generally, yeah.
Married.
You have
more than 29.
Yeah, this is also true, yeah. Okay. Going back to the Gemara, Abba Kiddushah to my Alma Kasi, but when it comes to Kiddushah, those have nothing to do with him supporting her. They come from the outside world. So you would think maybe there's more reason for them to belong to her. Therefore we need both kids.
Meaning
Kiddushin comes, some other person from the outside world comes in as Makadisher. It has nothing to do with the father supporting her all this time.
Right.
Mainly you could say, fine, he's supporting her quid pro quo, he should get her Maisi Adair. Kiddushin has nothing to do with that. In particular, also one of the Rishonim, I think the Rebbe, the Rivan, I think it is, points out that you could also put it this way. Maisi Adair is directly related to what he feeds her. He feeds her, therefore she has energy to do Maisi Adair. Kiddushin has nothing to do with that. The other person is not Makadosh based on how much she eats. But therefore, you could argue that there's not really a connection between the two. But therefore, we need to be told that nevertheless, there's a cost that he gets her Kiddushin as well. Now getting back to the braisa that we quoted earlier on the Amud, we said v'yotzachinam eli me bagrus ein kesef eli me nairus, that the two halves of the pasuk v'yotzachinam ein kesef teach us that she goes free when she's a begeret and that she goes free when she's a naira. The list of Rahman and nairus, like boy bagrus. Why doesn't the Torah just tell us a limud that we use for nairus, and you don't need to be told about bagrus? As far as bagrus, by definition, is after nairus, 6 months later.
I know it's free, you know. So by Bagrus.
Well, that's the Gemara is actually going to ask that soon. The Gemara is going to ask that soon, actually. But we're not even getting into that. Why don't we say? But basically, we could say Havachomer. If she goes free by Nairus, surely she should go free by Bagrus.
Yeah.
Okay. Amarava, Bazev, Limidol Zev. You're right. Technically, we only needed the one, but you need one of them. The fact is, the Torah doesn't use the word Nairus or the word Bagrus. It says V'yatzachinam and it says Ein Kesef. We're the ones who have to dash in it. You need one to teach us on the other. Meaning, if we only had one, we would think it applies to Bagrus. We wouldn't think. Maybe we would think she doesn't go free yet at Nidus. Maybe she has to wait till she's 6 months after puberty, and then she goes free. That's the Ein Limud we're going to get to in a minute. Wait.
Yeah, but you could still make a comment.
That we're going to get to soon, wait. But for right now, what we're going to say is that we need, once we have both of them, if we only had one of them, then we would assume it applies to Bagrus. Once we have both of them, then we know one of them has to apply to Nidus and the other one to Bagrus. Good. So then automatically we know she goes free by Nidus. Midi Dehava Tosha V'Sacher, because it's similar to the case of when the Torah mentions Tosha V'Sacher. Namely, when it says, again, going back to a Koyin, to the dinim of Koyinim eating Truma, the Pasuk says that a Toshav or a Socher of a Koyin is not allowed to eat Truma. And, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, again, we have this in the same place in Yevamos, at the beginning of Perek Oral in Yevamos, where we had a whole sugya about Koyinim eating Truma. The Toshav is a Konikinian Olam. We said there that a Toshav is an Eved Ivri who's bought forever, not forever, but till Yovel, where his ear has been pierced, as we'll talk about later on Yodzayin, Daf Yodzayin, and he stays till Yovel. That's a Toshav. Toshav literally means a resident, because he's residing there, he's living there for a long time, till next Yovel. And Socher is a Konikinian Shonim. And the word Socher means an Eved Ivri who's only working for a period of 6 years, where 6 years aren't up yet. Both of them, the point is that either way, they're Yisrael. We're assuming this Eved Ivri is Yisrael or a Levi. His guf is not owned by the Kohen, unlike an Eved Knani, who his master owns his guf. Therefore, he can't eat Truma. Now, therefore, he cannot eat. That's what I'm saying. He cannot eat Truma. Yeah. So the question is, the Braisa says, Yoma Toshav or Yoma Socher. Why does the Torah just say Toshav and not say Socher? Vani Yomer, and we can make a Kabachomer. Konikinian Olam and Ochel, Madoch, someone who's bought up until Yovel can't eat Truma. Konikinian Shonim like Holshikan, how much more so if he was bought only and he's still in a 6 year period? The reason is, the Braisa says, Ilu Kain, because if that were the case, so you see Omer, then you would think Toshav is a Konikinian Shonim. You would misunderstand and you would think that the word Toshav means the one who's bought for up to 6 years. He's living there for a while. He's living there for 6 years. He's still Toshav in that sense. You would think that if you're going to be staying there till Yovel, maybe already that's long enough that's considered that he can eat Truma. Therefore, Voss Socher, Voluminatosha.
Well, he stays there forever.
Well, that's what we're saying. You know, you would think. Therefore, Voss Socher, Voluminatosha. Therefore, you need the word Socher to teach us the proper meaning of the word Tosha. So we don't need the word Socher for itself. We only need it in order to teach us the true meaning of Tosha. Can you know them? Well, yes, even though a Toshav is acquired forever, meaning till Yovel, nevertheless, and Oichel, nevertheless, you can't eat Shurma. So the same thing over here. We should argue, Yotzachinam, Elohim Bagrus, and Kesef, Elohim Nairus, you really only needed one of them, but if you only had one, you'd think it's Bagrus. Once you have both of them, you know necessarily one of them has to be talking about Nairus. Yeah. Oh, so
certainly the Yotzeh
will be partially what the Yotzeh is. Right, okay. I mean, Tosfos points out, that maybe, I'm not sure if you're asking the same thing that Tosfos is asking, which is, why do we assume the Yotzeh Chinam goes on Bagrus and Ein Kesef goes on Nairus, maybe the other way around? Is that sort of... Well, okay. All right, anyway, Tosfos gives the answer to that because we said before, Yesh Kesef, Ein Kesef, implying Yesh Kesef Lod Nacho, necessarily that's only doing Nairus. By Bagrus already, she's not Nizra Shuz, and he doesn't get the Kesef. Therefore, of necessity, we have to say that Ein Kesef is talking about Nairus. So you're saying it wouldn't have had to say Toshav because it could have just said Socher. Okay, yeah, by the same token, yeah, it could have just said Ein Kesef, and we would have automatically known from it the Yotzeh Chinam, that's Bagrus.
But in there is the case of Bagrus and the Nairus, you have Toshav.
Right. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Okay. No,
but the Toshav is more obvious than the Toshav is less obvious than the Socher on the face of it. Because it says Zadolam, yes. But once you have Socher, it teaches us the meaning of Toshav. So the same thing. Once you have Ein Kesef, it teaches us the meaning of Once you have the Yotzeh Chinam, it tells us the meaning. So it is kind of the other way around. It is kind of the other way around as far as the order of things, doesn't it?
It's not parallel. The Toshav and the Sakhir is not parallel to the... the four cases are not equal to each other.
Well, Amalei Abayas, Abayas says to Rabba, they're not exactly the same. Midami, how can you compare them? Call them Trei Gufi Ninu. There, you're talking about two different bodies, two different avadim. Deki Nami Kosev Rachmana Toshav Nirtzalo Yoichal. Because even if the Torah had spelled out, let's say the Torah had said the word Toshav and spelled out that it means Nirtzalo Yoichal, that it means a slave whose ear has been pierced doesn't eat Shema. V'hadr Kosev Idach. And then, after that, the Torah had written the word Sachir. Have a socher milta da'asa b'kavachomer, then we would understand, okay, the word socher is something you could after all learn out with a kavachomer. Fine, big deal. A milta da'asa b'kavachomer, tarach b'kasa b'lakra. Sometimes we find that even something that could have been learned by a kavachomer, the pasuk says so explicitly anyway.
What's Abaye's argument?
Abaye's argument is like this, that in that case, even if we understood, even if without the word Sachir, we should understand the true meaning of Toshav, let's say the Torah had spelled out, the Toshav means a Nirsa, the Torah could have still had a valid reason to write Sachir anyway. You could learn it with a Kavachomer. Okay, sometimes the Torah does that. Sometimes the Torah will take a din. You could have learned that with a Kavachomer and says it explicitly. So it still tells us explicitly that you should know, not only a Toshav, but also a Sachir, can't eat Shema. Elohocha, Chad Gufahi, here it's all talking about one body. She only becomes a begeres after being a naira. Ki nafkalav a naira. Once she's gone out from being an omohevria as a naira, bagus my boyagabe. What's she still doing by him as a begeres? Ela amar abaya
la nitz. Same person in two different states.
Exactly.
Two different
people. That's exactly the point. Yeah. Ela amar abaya la nitzcha ela beger da iloynis. So here's what you were saying, Yaakov, about an iloynis. That we need the words the Yotzeh Chinam teaching about a begeres in the case where she's an Iloinus. Now an Iloinus never becomes a Naira. We learned in Yevamos that she goes straight from being a Ktana to being a begeres. So therefore, Sakhudat Hamina Benairus Tepuk for Bagus Loi Tepuk. So you would think maybe a girl only goes out from being an Omohevriya when she's a Naira, not when she's a begeres. So an Iloinus who never becomes a Naira will not she'll go for 6 years.
What?
So that's Rashi mentioned that we have Shiyala Esther Shana, yeah, when she turns 20, yeah. But we mentioned
Yevamos. Sure,
we mentioned over there in Yevamos, remember, we mentioned a couple of possibilities. One of them is that she actually develops Simone Ilonis, and then once she turns 20, actually the Rambam holds 30 days before 20, but whatever, then she's considered an Ilonis. The other The other possibility is she doesn't develop Simone Ilonen, but she also doesn't develop Shtei Cyrus, and then she's considered a Khan until 35. Yeah. Whatever it is, but yeah, if she develops Simone Ilonen, then when she turns 20, then she becomes a Begeret. Automatically. Actually, the Gemara talked over there about the opinion of Rav, who said that if we find by age 20 that she develops Simone Ilonis, what it actually means is retroactively, going back to when she was 12 then, retroactively we now know she was a Gzoila. So actually Tosfos says in that case, with the next piece, where the Gemara is going to say maybe you can't sell an Ilonis in the first place, the point, what the Gemara is going to say is if you can't sell her in the first place, it means obviously you didn't know when you sold her that she's going to be an Ilonis. You can't know in advance whether she's going to develop Simone Ilonis or whether she's just late in maturing. But when it turns out she's an Ilonis, maybe you'd have to refund all the money. The master's not having, is not doing the deal with her. Under normal, not normal, I mean, the idea is that the... Yeah, you're just thinking of Yavama. No, with an Amo Ivriya, you could have yield. You could have the master is able to be Makadisher with the money that he originally paid. Fine, that may or may not happen. He may be Miyayed her to himself or his son. But if not, then she goes V'yatzachidim and Kesef. She either goes free after 6 years or Yovel or when she becomes a Naira. Or in the case of an Ilonis, when she becomes a Begeret. So you would think Benaira's Tepuk or Bagra's like Tepuk. Maybe she only goes free when she's a Naira, not when she becomes a Begeret. And Ilonis, who never becomes a Naira, maybe doesn't have this exemption. Maybe she just goes free after the 6 years. For Mashmalon, that's the Chiddush. Still, though, that she would still go free. That's why we need the Yatzachinam to tell us that even in a case where she never becomes a Naira, but when she becomes a Begeret, then yes, she will go free. Okay, Mas Gifal Marabar Rashi, the law of Kavachomer. Why? Can't she make a wife? Why? Can't she make a Kavachomer? Which don't take her out of her father's rishus. When she develops Shtei Cyrus, she's a Naira, but at that point she's still in her father's rishus, like we've been saying. Yet, Metzin Mishus Adin, yet that's enough to take her out of the rishus of her master. Before the 6 years are up. Bagrus, Metzin Mishus Ab. So Bagrus, which makes her even independent of her father, ain't a din to Metzin Mishus Adin, how much more so would take her out of the rishus of her Adin? So of course, even without the words of the pasuk, you would know that as a begeret she goes free. Okay, yeah, why don't we say mil to daf to mekav like we just said before? The Gemara will take that up on our own base. Ella omer ma'bravashi lo nitzuchel le'ikus v'nedai lo nitz. No, the chiddush in the pasuk of v'yatzachinam is to tell us not whether she goes free as a begeret. You're right, that you would know from the kavachomer. Rather, to teach us that an ilonis can be sold in the first place. You would think maybe only a girl who eventually develops Simone Nairus is considered a valid sale. The lawyer asks you Simone Nairus to have his vina. If she ends up not developing Simone Nairus, namely she's an Ilonis, then maybe it's not considered a valid sale. And as Tosus points out, maybe then the other would have to refund the money, or the father rather would have to refund the money, and there wouldn't be the din of yud. Kamash Malan, V'yatzachinam, Chola, that's why we need the words V'yatzachinam to teach us this basic concept that an Ilonis is capable of being sold in the first place as an Amar Ivriya.
It's being sold, but you're not going to cancel it retroactively.
That's the point, right. In other words, she could be sold, let's say, yeah, when she's a teenager or something, she hasn't yet developed Simone Naira, it's fine. I mean, as long as she develops sometime between 12 and 20, she won't be an Ilonis. But if it turns out by the time 20 she develops Simone Ilonis, then we'll still know, it means that retroactively she was an Ilonis. But, and actually, according to Rav, we would have to say, in that case, the money would have to be refunded, because it turns out she was sold retroactively. We now know she was sold after she was a Gdola, because she became retroactively, we now know she was a Gdola at 12. So then you'd have to have a scenario, some Rishonim and talk about, okay, so she was sold, let's say, when she was sold, let's say, shortly, okay, she was sold, let's say, yeah, she was 11, let's say, or whatever, so, the point is that now, years later, when she turns 20 and develops Simone Ilonis, so now we know that, she was sold when she was still a katana, and it's fine, but had she been sold any time after that, then the whole thing would have to be undone. Okay, well, Ma'abra Ravashi, Da'amav Lav Kavachomahu, now, going back to Ma'abra Ravashi's argument, And he's saying, what do you need a pasuk? What do you need a yatzal chinam? Can't we learn from a kabbal chomer that a begeris goes out? Pomerin, and didn't we just say, mil tadas of a kabbal chomer, tarach the kasa lakra, that just because something says by a kabbal chomer is not a valid reason, the Torah can still take the trouble to spell it out explicitly? And so it's
honey, to
make it more clear, basically. Actually, there was a vort I once saw, and I think I once mentioned when we had this line before in the Gemara. I once mentioned a vort from the Bnei Yisachar. He says the idea behind it is a kavah chomer, after all, among all the Yud Gimel Midos, is the only one that depends purely on human intuition. All the other ones, Binyanav, Klal, they're the only Masorah for them. Kavah chomer is the only one that you can deduce logically with your own brain. So in some places, the Torah tells you, don't think, very nice, it's your brain. Ultimately, Torah is, and therefore, let's spell it out rather than just say that you're going to rely on your own brain.
Bnei Yisachar
says that, yeah. The name of the Shefer is pronounced Yisachar by most people. The name of the Shefer is pronounced Yisachar. The answer is Hanimila, Hecha the Lech HaLashanuri. Fine. Well, you don't have any better answer than necessarily you say that the Torah wrote something, even though we could have learned it with a Kabbalah Chaim. Hecha the Ikka LaShanuri. But if you can find a better answer, if you can find another reason why the Torah had to write it, like in this case, Mishanin, and then we try to find such an answer, and that's why Ma'abar Rav Ashi felt constrained to be able to use the words V'yatachinam for some limud, rather than, which in the end we said, the very fact that a Nilonis can be sold in the first place, rather than just assume that it's just to recapitulate what we could have learned with the Kabbalah Chaim. Next. So all of this, up until now, from Gimel Amud Beis, from the beginning of our sugya until now, was all discussing one basis for the concept of Kedusha Kes. It's Pasuk V'yatzah Chinam, or the Pasuk Ein Kesef, rather. Ein Kesef Ladin Zeh, V'yesh Kesef Ladin Acher. Now, the Tana Maisi Lam Hacha, a Tana, rather, of a Braisa, learns it from a different source, the Tanya. The pasuk says ki yikach ish isho v'ala, when a man marries a woman and has relations with her, if she doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki matz above him, if he finds in her erva stava, etc. So, ein kicha el b'kesef. The word kicha specifically means acquiring money. V'chein u'omer, and thus we find Avraham saying to Ephraim, Nasati kesef asada kacher, and I've already given the money for the field, take it from me. We see that the word kicha is related to money.
Yeah. How do we know that?
We're saying kiyikafish. We're making a zera shava basically. Yeah. The Gemara says aloy dinhu. What do you need a pasuk for? We can make a kavachomer about it. Does not become acquired by bia. Namely, how does the father sell the daughter as an amah hevriya? Not by giving her over to the admin for bia, as a shifcha, to have type of relations with him. That wouldn't be considered a valid thing. It's only by money.
It wouldn't be.
That would be kedushin, but it wouldn't make her an amah hevriya. That would be an example of Kedusha Bia. We said yesterday, or the day before, that the father is Zaka Bibite, the Kesef Mishnah of Bia, so fine, he has the ability to give her over to somebody for Bia, for Kedusha Bia. But if he tries to do that in order to make her an Amo Hevriya, that doesn't work. That's not a valid way of making her an Amo Hevriya. Afterwards, it can happen. The underlying idea is supposed to be that her being an omer, that her being a shifcha will lead to marriage, which is why you have the whole concept of yield, that the money that the father received for her can do double duty as a kesef kedushin if the master or his son wants, as we'll learn later on in the parak, and then taka she becomes the master's or his son's wife, but then she's not an omer hevriya anymore. So bia has nothing to do with an omer hevriya. Yet nichnis to kesef, yet she can be acquired with money, just like an eved ivri. So zu shenichnas b'bia, a regular wife who can be nichna b'bia, as we said in the Mishnah, b'kesef b'shtada b'bia, and later on at the end of the Almud we'll learn where the pasuk actually says so. Ein adinchi tikanah b'kesef. How much more so she should be able to be acquired with money? They have a kavachomer. The answer is yivama techiach. No, because you could slug up the kavachomer because look at a yivama. Shenichnas b'bia vein and nichnas b'kesef. A yivama only gets nichna to her yavam with bia, not with money.
Maybe that's designed for the, you can plug it up with the Yavama.
That's the point. In other words, once you have an example of a Yavama, I mean, an Omeria is not exactly like a wife either. Once you have another scenario where Bia is valid and Kesef is not, then you can argue, okay, so you have a din of an Omeria where Kesef works and Bia doesn't. You have a case of a Yavama where Bia works, Kesef doesn't. You don't know what it is by a regular wife. Maybe she's more like a Yavama in that regard. Bia works, as we'll say later, over Allah. Kesef maybe doesn't. Okay. Okay. I mean, let's see. It may not even be a tzad chomer and tzad kal per se. The Ramban, I think it was, actually says that even though it's in the format of a kal v'chomer over here, we're not really doing this as a kal v'chomer. We're kind of doing it, he says, more as a mamotzino, as a binyanav. That since you have the case of an Omer Evria, where we see that Kesef is a valid method of Kinyan, therefore maybe we should generalize from that to other cases such as an Isha, and we're answering back, yes, that you can use an opposite Mamotzino from a Yavama. So it's not necessarily really a true Kal v'chomer, even though the Gemara is sort of presenting it as one. Fine. Let's answer back. Big deal. I can prove there's another difference in reverse. I can prove, look, a Yavama cannot be acquired with a shtar. So how can you deduce from that anything about a regular wife who can be nikna with a shtar, which the Gemara is going to discuss on the beginning of the next Amud, on the beginning of Hamad Aleph, how we know that Kenyan shtar works. So you're going back and forth over there. You don't really have a clear kal v'chomer or a clear mamatzino one way or the other. Therefore, tamad lema kiyeh kachish. Therefore, we need the pasuk kiyeh kachish from which we learn kicha kicha misday efer, and that we learn that it means money. Okay. So halom alikra ha'asila. Fine. In the final analysis, then, why do we need the pasuk? We seem to have been able to validly learn it out. We said you learn it out from an amar hevriya. I'm pretty sure that an Eved Kanani or an Amar Evria is also, but let's see, Eved Evri Nichna, yeah, the Kesef or Shtar, yeah. So an Eved or an Amar, same way in that regard, yeah. So we seem to have a valid lingua without the pasuk after all. We can learn from an Amar. An Amma is nikna b'kesef and b'shtar, not b'bia, it is true, but at least it's closer to the case of a woman than a Yavama, of a regular wife than a Yavama, who's only nikna with bia and nothing else. So therefore, we seem to have a good limud for kiddush kesef. Why, after all, do we need the word tiyikachish? Halam alikra, what do you need the pasuk? Ha'asila, we have docha limud, after all. Amar avashim, mishum de'ikul me'ikra de'dina pircha. Because, after all, you can say that the original limud has a flaw in it. You want to learn from an Amar Hevriya, but from that very case itself, I can slug you. Ma'ala Amar Hevriya shekein yoytzeh b'kesef, because you know what? Kesef is special by an Amar Hevriya. Not only she is acquired with it in the first place, she also leaves via kesef, because one of the ways that an Amar Hevriya can go free before the end of the 6 years, she can pay. She can pay the master the balance of what the case Rashi mentions it on the pasuk. You know, she was sold for 6 mana for 6 years, so a mana a year, let's say. So she's, you know, she worked 4 years, she can pay 2 mana, and she goes free.
Why not?
Time of Azusha in the year to the Kesef. How can you prove that to a wife who does not go out from her marriage with Kesef?
So the whole limud
from an Amar Hevriya is flawed. It shows that there's something special about
it.
Yeah, and I mean, Tosfos points out there's more special things about an Amar Hevriya as well. There's more ways that an Amar Hevriya can go free as well. Simanim, as we were talking about on Amar Aleph, Yovel, the end of 6 years. Tosfos points out the reason why the Gemara is focusing on Kesef is because that applies not only that applies actually even to a Shifra Knanis. So that we see that Kesef has a great power to get people free, whereas you see it doesn't work in the case of a regular marriage. So therefore, after all, we do need the pasuk kiyakachish, because after all, we can't learn it by a kal v'chomer or a mamatzino, as the case may be from Amar Hevriya. So now, why do we need two different? So far, we've had Rav's limud from in Kesef, and we had the Bryce's limud from kiyakachish. So what do you need? What do you need both? Ve'itzrich l'mechtav ki yikachish. Ve'itzrich l'mechtav yatsav chinam. Ve'itzrich l'mechtav ki yikachish. You need both psukim. The ikas of Rachmana ki to know the whole concept of kedusha kesef. The ikas of Rachmana ki yikach hava amina. Then you would think kedusha the yahav la ba'al didahavu. You would think, okay, but if the husband gives her the kedusha, they always belong to her. And we know with a naira that's not the case. Kasev Rachmana v'yatsav chinam. Therefore, the Torah doesn't tell us v'yatsav chinam and kesef to tell us that in that case of a naira, her father gets the kedusha money. Then you would think, however, the other way around, you could say, what if we know that kedushin has to come from the husband to the wife, from the man to the woman, as we're going to talk about later on in the parak in at great length. What happens, how do we know that it's not the other way around? If she gives him the money and is mekadesh him, have a kedushin, maybe that's enough. That's the point. Because if you only had the words v'yatzachinam ain't kesef, you would say, fine, yesh kesef la'odin acher. Still, how does that, you know, that mean that the husband can't give it to the father, that she can't give it to her father, let's say to an eskadish, to this guy or whatever. Therefore, we need kiyikach. Now, so what is, Rashi says that that's what it means. In other words, it means that, how do we know that she can't be, that she can't be mekadesh him? Tosfos says, of course not. If you say Harei Atta Mekudeshli, if she gives it to him and says Harei Atta Mekudeshli, that's meaningless. Harei Atta Mekudeshli has a meaning, because as we said on Beis Amud Beis, she becomes also to everybody else just like Hekdesh. A man who is Miskadesh is not also, a man who is Miskadesh a woman is not thereby also to other women. Either before Chen and Jabin Agedesh, he could have more than one wife. So of course, we're saying...
You can still today.
Fine, right. In other words, it would be Tosfos Daraisa, exactly, yeah. So of course, whether Rashi says that she's saying Harei Atta Mekudeshli, Tosfos says, well, of course that wouldn't work. So no, rather Tosfos says, what the Gemara means is, suppose she gives him the money and says, Harei Ani Mekudeshes Loch. So that would work on the basis of the idea she still is also to everybody else like Hekdesh, but it doesn't work because Ki Yikach, because he has to be the active one, the one who's giving the money of Kedushin, and she has to be the one receiving it.
That's because Ki Yikach.
Because Ki Yikach,
yeah.
That we'll talk about later, fine. If you
Go
down to the deck, right. So therefore, we need both psukim. One teaches us that in the case of a naira, the money goes to the father. The other teaches us the general fact that the kedushin has to come from him to her. Okay, next. Uba'allah, and we quoted before the pasuk ki yikach ish isha uba'allah. Melamed sheniknas v'bia. From this we learn that a woman can be niskadish through bia. Again, you can ask v'ala dinu. Again, can't you learn it by kavachomer or mamatinu? Uma yivama shein a niknas v'kesef niknas v'bia. We'll do the other way around. A yivama cannot be acquired to yavam with money, but she can be with bia. Zusha niknas v'kesef, a woman who can be niskadish with kesef, as we just established, ain't a din she niknas v'bia. Much more so, she should be able to be acquired with bia.
Not necessarily.
The answer is Amar Ivriya Techia. Now we'll do the other way around. We'll disprove that from Amar Ivriya. Niknas v'kesef, ain't niknas v'bia. Again, she's only acquired with money and with shtar, fine, but not with bia. Okay, Mala Amar Ivriya, Shein Kinyan l'shum Ishus. Fine, you can argue back. But Amar Ivriya is not being bought for the purpose of Ishus. Just to work. I mean, in a sense, yes, because there is the ultimate purpose is supposed to be the yield. The Torah does expect that the master or the son is going to be miyayed, or is going to marry her, and then the money will double as the money of kedushin. Fine, but at the time that she's sold, that's not actually a reality yet. If they decide, then yes.
So
we'll learn later on in the parak when we get into all the dinim of yield. I don't remember if they actually have to tell her or her father that they miyayed her. No, because that's the thing. You know, the money that money paid the father originally for her doubles as the money for kedushin.
She needs consent.
I don't know. Remember, she's still a tana. If she was a naira, she would be going free. She wouldn't be an amar ivriya anymore. And a tana is not really capable of giving consent. Okay. Anyway. So Malo Omer Via Shane Kinyan Lashem Lashum Ishus, and Omer Via Zahna primarily being bought for Ishus. How can you prove from that to a case of a regular marriage, which is being where the acquisition is being done l'shem yishus? So therefore, by an amar ibiya, you could argue yes, there's no bia because bia is not relevant in that case. By an isha, it is. Time of leimor v'ala. Therefore, you need the pasuk v'ala. Again, v'lama likra. Again, you can ask. So after all, why do you need the pasuk? We seem to have slugged up. We seem to have gotten rid of the possible objection from Amar Hevriya. So Lachorah, we have the limud from Yavama. Yavama is Nichna Bebiya, so a regular woman should be Nichna Bebiya as well. So what do we need the pasuk? Pasula. Again, Amar Rabashim Shum De Iklamei Ma Meikud De Dina Pircha. Same idea as before, because we could say that after all, that limud that you want to do from Yavama is flawed. There's a logical flaw in it. Because what are you trying to? You're trying to learn it from Yavama. Mali Yavama, she came to Skoka by Medes. A Yavama, after all, already has a zika. She already had her. The bia is only coming in order to finish things off. There's no initial kinyan that needs to be done. The original kinyan was done when the original dead brother married her. And then at this point, when the Yavam is getting involved with her, it's Hiknu Lama Neshamayim, as we said in Yavama. So the Eivishter was makna her to him. No new kinyan is needed, unlike by a regular case of kiddushin where you're doing a whole new kinyan, a whole new kinyan. So you can't use that limud after all. Talmud Lomo of Allah. Therefore we need the word of Allah. Tres just discusses a little bit that the fact is we see she may be a skuka, but still doesn't work to say that money finishes all things. So why don't we just so Tres just says basically why don't the Gemara just use an expanded version of the Kavah Chaimer? Madacha Yavama, who is skuka by Medes, Kesef doesn't work, but Bia does. How much more so a regular woman who's not skuka by Medes, where Kesef works, as we said before, and Bia should work, and Bia should work also. That's the way Tres was asking why the Gemara didn't just include all that factor in there. Tosfos just says because the difference is that with the Yavama, even though it's Kukah by Medes, even though there's already a Zika, nevertheless Kesef is not enough to accomplish anything. You must have Bia. So how much more so when Ain's Kukah by Medes and Kesef works, how much more so Bia should work? So Tosfos says the reason is because what the Gemara. So Tosfos brings two possibilities. One is the Rishon says in Tosfos that what it means is when you get down to it, what's the primary purpose of Yibum after all is lahakim la'achib shem, is to have children who will bear the name or not the name necessarily, but the neshama or whatever of the dead brother. So therefore, it's more logical to say that bia works there. Not necessarily yes. When you get married, you're intending to do bia, but that's not necessarily the primary purpose of a regular marriage. As opposed to a Yavama, it's pretty much the exclusive purpose of it. Because otherwise, she might as well marry anybody. That's one. And number two, Tosfos says that zkukah v'emedes means, therefore, given that there already was a kedushin from beforehand, then you would want to say that look, okay, we know bia can finish things off. We know that once you have kedusha kesef, for example, that the nisurin is accomplished by chuppah and bia. You can't prove from that necessarily that bia should be the first stage of things. Except, that therefore, we need the pasuk of Allah to say that it can't even be the first stage, even by a regular woman.